Blog Talk Radio.
Well, peace and blessings, everyone. Hello, hello, hello. I am your hostess, Bree, and you have reached Bree Life Radio. Firstly, I want to start off by thanking all of my listeners. I've been getting great feedback. I've been reading everyone's emails and their tweets and their messages through Facebook. So, again, to all the listeners out there, I really appreciate all of the love and support, even the constructive criticism that I've gotten over the last few weeks. I don't claim to know it all, and as you probably heard, or if this is your first time listening in, I always, at some point in the show, give my disclaimer that I am not a psychiatrist, psychologist, behavioral specialist, social worker, or anything of those, anything in the realm of working with people and that are licensed. I am a woman who has walked the earth's surface for several years, and I've made my share of mistakes. I've been hurt. I've gone through some things, and I just want to share the benefit of my experiences with those who may be listening, or if they know someone that has gone through something similar that they may hear that's on the air, please share it. And that's it. Now, if you all may remember from last Thursday, on Thursdays we have Freestyle Thursdays. And our topic of discussions are wide open to the callers. So sometimes, even though this is a two-hour show, we've gone quite a bit over, and sometimes we have to table our discussions to the next time that Bree Life airs. We have not formally set a part two to our last discussion, but it was requested. So I'm just going to kind of piggy bank off of some of the things that we were discussing last week. And just so that you know, this week we're going to have a discussion with one of our most famous and beloved callers, Mark from Houston, Texas. He's not on the line yet, but until he gets on the line, and as a matter of fact, there's something in particular he wants to discuss, which I'm sure it's going to be a very interesting topic, and that is relationship lottery. What in the world is relationship lottery? I'm not sure what it is, but I'm sure, as you know, all know, Mark from Houston, Texas, he has a lot to say, and he'll be filling us in on what he believes relationship lottery actually is. But one of the things that I would like to discuss, one of my freestyles from last week that we didn't get a chance to discuss was, should you be involved with someone who is not of the same religious or spiritual faith as yourself? Personally, myself, I have been in that situation three times, ironically, with the only three people I've ever been involved with, and each one did not believe what I believed. One, I really believe he would not admit it, but I believe there's no God in him. He's probably an atheist because he told me many times before he questioned the existence of God. So this is for all those who have heard me before, and for those who have never heard the sound of my voice or something that I'm about to say that I've repeated before, this is why you must pay attention, people, when they're talking to you. When somebody tells you who they are, you must believe them. I should have ran like hell when he told me that he questioned the existence of God, because I know that I believe in God, very much so. Another person claimed that they were a Muslim, but when Ramadan came around, they didn't really behave in a most structured Islamic fashion. So that was another situation. And then, of course, the other person was a Jehovah's Witness. So that really didn't work for me as well. So it's important when you talk about spending your life or, you know, spending a great deal of time with someone, potentially becoming their spouse. You know, these are the things that you have to examine and really, you know, pray on and dig deep for guidance, and even go to your spiritual leader to get some direction as to how one would deal with that. So that's my freestyle. If anyone feels like calling in and wanting to discuss that and expand on that further, please feel free to do so at 424-220-1862. That number again is 424-220-1862. Also, you can send your questions, concerns, show ideas, constructive criticisms, of course, to BreeLifeRadio@gmail.com. You can follow us on Bree Life Radio at Twitter, Bree Life Radio at Facebook. So without further ado, we are going to welcome one of our most loved callers, and that would be Mark from Houston, Texas. Brother Mark.
Hey.
Hey.
What's up?
How are you? How have you been?
Well,
peace and blessings.
You know, peace and blessings and all that good stuff. Chicken grease.
Mm-hmm.
That's that. Hey, so first off, I'm listening to everybody that is listening. That may be from all parts or who knows where. I'm sitting on my patio in a white beater T-shirt, and my crazy neighbors doing something with fireworks, I think, around here. I don't know what's wrong with these people. So anyway, it's like, I don't know, about 78 degrees and at 8 o'clock our time, 9 o'clock their time. So I just want to put that out there as I sit on my terrace with my glass of Cabernet. So peace.
Hello, clink, clink. Cheers to you.
Yeah.
So, before we start in on what your topic that you solicited, that you wanted to talk about this evening, were you listening in to the beginning of the show to kind of hear my freestyle from last week that you had a chance to really expand on? Because, you know, we had some really famous people on. We had Mr. Solutions, we had Gail from Minnesota, and at the end of the show, it was kind of, you know, it was an inflamed conversation, so,
inflamed.
What do you think about dating someone who, or being involved, being in a committed relationship, being married to someone who you don't necessarily share the same religious or spiritual ways of worshiping?
Well, I mean, I think it's problematic out the gate. I mean, just believe me, I mean, just you probably would rather talk to yourself.
Please say that again for the callers.
I mean, you probably would rather talk to yourself. I mean, and, you know, you might just want to have that relationship alone.
Okay.
And again, it depends. It depends on, and you use the word, because I heard you talk about a gentleman that you dated that was claiming to be of the Islamic faith, and then you question his practices during Ramadan, and that might question his devoutness towards it. Sometimes we claim a religion or a certain spiritual belief because we grew up around it. How much we embrace it and how much we practice it, that's a whole other thing. Having
said
that,
just to give you a bit of information about this individual, he did not grow up around. He's not of. He didn't grow up around this religion. As a matter of fact, he was a Christian growing up. And then he embraced, so to speak, Islam when he got older. But, you know, being someone myself who grew up with people who embraced that as their religion from birth, understanding, you know, the ideology of it all, and then to watch someone behave in a manner in which is completely contradictory to what Islam really stands for, especially at the most holiest time of year, which is Ramadan, and not do the types of things that you're supposed to be doing. Just like Christians who are of Catholic faith, this is their most holiest time of the year, with it being Ash Wednesday, and then recognized in Lent, and those things. There are certain behaviors and, you know, exercises that you're supposed to be participating in. And I just found it unbelievable that he would say he was this and didn't embrace it at all. And of course, that was the first year that he kind of, you know, revealed himself to me in that fashion. And then I never saw him on his knees praying or anything thereafter, because I kind of criticized him. I don't think he appreciated that very much in any case.
Well, again, when I say grow up around, however you come to be, sometimes we have casual experiences with religion or spirituality, and because of a group of people we're around, maybe we're in college or friends or family, whatever, we came about this, but we're not probably devout. We may even have questions about it, but we'll go ahead, if, you know, it's a box on the application and ask us a religious question about what religion we are, we may check it. That's a different kind of person as opposed to someone who actively practices a certain faith or a certain religious slant, so to speak. And with those people, again, if two people come from just really different places, then you're going to run into some very core problems. Because if one person believes that they should live their life a certain kind of way, and the other individuals that they're interacting with don't feel that way, then you're going to have a problem with communicating, especially around those things, because if their core beliefs, like, I don't know, if you believe in Muhammad, or you believe in Abraham, or you believe in Jesus, or you believe in Buddha, and they have certain practices that you should have, if you believe that, especially with most of these faiths believe that there is a way to, whether it be heaven, whether it be Shangri-La, whether it be wherever, they believe there's a route to it. And when you don't believe what they believe, then you're actually believing something core. So that perhaps is going to make them look at you like, wow, a lost person or a infidel or a non-believer or a, you know, any number of words may be used to describe someone as not in line with some kind of core belief. And so if that's the case, then that means you're looking at the person really different too. And if you look at the person really different, then the question is, well, then who are you looking at, and what is that? What do they mean to you? And if I could just jump in on that,
and yes, you're right. And if I could just jump in on that, and again, I have to say that this is the problem with both men and women. It's not gender specific. Believe me. When I say when you start a relationship with someone and you're not paying attention, because if a person can't be committed to, first of all, we talked about religion in the beginning, but you know, I don't push the envelope because I believe I'm not a religious person, I'm a spiritual person. And one of the things that I feel is that, you know, we all have our own belief systems, so therefore we should not impose what we believe on another human being. So in being respectful at the beginning of the relationship, there are certain things that I really didn't push. But in retrospect, I think that once it got to a certain level, I should have inquired more. I should have paid attention more. Because just to see how this person did not have the capacity to be as committed to this belief system that he, you know, I mean, he had the Quran. He had a couple of Qurans. He had a sterling silver ring with the crescent, you know, and the star, all these things, but not real. And oh, talk about, oh, I'm not eating any pork, you know, and all this stuff, but he could not commit himself the way that one who truly believes in the tenets and the pillars and the principles of Allah usually does. It was clear that there was no commitment. And therefore, his inability to commit in this very holy and religious fashion should have told me, if I was really I should have been paying attention, and I wasn't.
Right. Well,
okay. So now that we chewed that up, unless someone else wants to chime in, and if they do, they can chime into the conversation by dialing 424-220-1862. That number again is 424-220-1862. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Bree Life Radio. And again, you can send your questions, concerns, show ideas, and constructive criticisms to BreeLifeRadio@gmail.com. Before we start, Mark, we're going to bring our other brother into the conversation. I believe this is Big C from Philadelphia. Peace and blessings. Is that Big C?
Greetings, everyone.
And for all our callers, would you please identify yourself?
Big C.
Okay. Well, peace and blessings, and I hope you had a really nice weekend. Thank you for calling in and, you know, constantly and consistently supporting Bree Life Radio. So, again, listeners, tonight We are going to be talking about relationship, the relationship lottery. And if Brother Mark can lead us off by talking to us about what exactly is the relationship lottery.
Well, and I kind of want to, you know, look at it from the standpoint of any kind of gambling situation. When I say gambling, I mean, it's kind of like I look at the concept of the casino or the lottery game, and anybody familiar with a casino is familiar with the concept of the buy-in or the table minimum. You know, every table you come to, you have to basically have a, if you're playing blackjack, for instance, there's a table buy-in, and some you have, like, the lower state game. Some places, you know, here in the Louisiana area, because basically we don't have casinos here in Houston, but about 2 hours to the east is Louisiana, and they have, you know, casinos. And then your area, you have Atlantic City, and, you know, you can go up to Connecticut, I believe, too, as well. And then you have people out in other parts of the country that have casinos available. So, you know, you have tables you can get in at blackjack, for instance, that are like, you know, $5 some places, some $25. And you have high stake tables that are 100. And then we also know about slots, where you have penny slots, and then you have slots that can even be $5 or even more some places to get to your buy-in. And I kind of think about the relationship concept is the buy-in. And when you have a buy-in, basically you have what I call basically the price of admission to even get to sit down. Now, just because you can sit down at the table at that buy-in doesn't mean that's where you're going to stay, and that doesn't mean you can't raise the stakes along the way. But it does have a lot to do with what can be expected and what you can possibly lose as well. So now, if the buy-in is very casual, and which is like a $5 table or something, we're sitting around with just whatever, fine. But the more I put up, the more I have at stake, and which means I have to lose. Also, the more I have to gain, in a sense. Now, granted, I understand the specifics of our human interactions a little different than a gambling game, but all of us know this: if we've had more than one relationship, we've come in at a certain place, and we watched how that relationship developed, and we saw where we were able to go and where we were able to move around, so to speak, in that relationship. And so with that in mind, you have to ask yourself, and I was using an example talking to someone earlier about the whole concept of you have a relationship where a person is expected to be taken care of. You have another relationship where a person expects to take care of. You have other relationships where you believe it's going to be a partnership. You truly believe it's going to be a partnership. And a lot of times the way you come into that relationship, and you always talk about that, you know, about how you start a relationship is usually, you know, whatever it's built on. But the stakes can waver and go up and down. Relationship positions can change. And some people get up from the table if it gets a little rich for their blood. Again, they put enough out, and they haven't seen the type of outcomes that they want to see. So therefore, they say, I'm out, and they walk away from the game.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm talking about the lottery standpoint, I'm talking about the chance that's involved in entering into a relationship, and there is a chance. And sometimes the familiarity and the comfort, as you say, whatever, when you were talking about the religious thing, you were talking about the whole thing about people see, you know, basically open your eyes, see what's there in front of you. Don't ignore what's going on. And people are aware. Don't get it twisted. They're aware most of the time. Almost all the time they're aware, unless you run into some super slick-talking young lady or dude, somebody's just lying. If there's not a lie involved, and if it's straight-talking involved, then it means you did hear. However, I will tell you this, and I'm sure of this, people believe that sometimes if I stick it out, stay around, I may be able to shuffle the deck and get a different outcome when it's out of another shoe that comes around, so to speak. And maybe you can. Who says you can't? I don't know. But I would say that a lot of times if a person is not ready to do certain things, if they're not at a certain place and they've told you, then you do know. And sometimes you think you can wear a person down, and you may. And sometimes you think that you wanted to be taken care of, but you don't. And sometimes you may have said you didn't want to be taken care of, but you do. And all of these different things play in when you sit at the table and you realize what's going on and you've been introduced to the stakes. You've been introduced to the stakes. And sometimes, I even take it even further, sometimes it's going so good, you feel like you want to throw more in. You want to throw more because it's been going good. After all, your hands have been going really good.
I have to ask some questions here. Well, wouldn't that be the same thing? And you know, Big C, please feel free to, you know, to enter into the conversation or add, or if there was something else that you wanted to talk about, you know. But I just want to comment about what you said regarding the investment of time.
The investment, what one invests
when entering in the relationship. Because wouldn't that be considered almost the same as the investment of time that one puts into getting to know somebody? Wouldn't that be considered the same thing?
It could be, but let's look at that, and let's look at, again, back to the game at the table, so to speak. You put a buy-in, you make an investment, let's say it's time, but the table may honor that investment, meaning it may flip on you, meaning the human being that you're interacting with similarly at the table, you put that time in, and you may feel good about what you're seeing, and it seems like everything is going good. But then there's a shift, and let's say you have a bad hand, but then you have a good hand. Then you have another bad hand, then you have another good hand, followed by a couple bad hands. What keeps the player at the table a lot of times is the fact that there's a chance to things, the fact that there's a chance to win, meaning I put my time in, I like what I was getting. I didn't like what I just saw, but because in the past I got it by putting my time in, I'm maybe willing to sit here a little longer.
Wonder if the other player, so to speak, has decided that he or she is going to change their perspective and not really playing the game. They may choose to stay engaged, but they might choose to still play at the table, but the amount of investment that they're making into the game, so to speak. Because I don't really like looking at it like that, but, you know, this is your topic, so this is where we're going. You know, maybe the player is where they was, you know, gambling $100 chips at a time. They decided to decrease it to 10.
Okay.
Because they not liking what they see, you know. Every time they get a new card.
Well, again, I will say that the whole concept, and I use it as an example, and it's a loose example because we know there's some differences, but the similarities are this: that there's a flow, there's an ebb. And you know, it's a movement in and a movement out, and you know that to some extent. You may hold back some chips if you're not seeing the things that you want to see, but you didn't get it from the table, okay? When I use the example you just used, I dialed back my gambling, my waging, but I didn't stop waging. Because remember, whether it's a $100 chip or $5 chip, it's still yours, and you're still losing, so to speak, or gaining. And sometimes, let's look at it from blackjack's standpoint. If we play blackjack, and I have 18, and the table has 18 or the dealer has 18, then I don't win, but I don't lose either. So I stay where I am. Okay. So the whole concept of an investment, while this whole thing of gambling is not exactly like a relationship, but it is a gamble because think about it. When relationships end a lot of times, somebody or several or both people may have clearly didn't want that to be the outcome. So when they sat down at the table with each other, they didn't want the outcome that they had. They didn't want it. And they put investment in, and they had a stake in it. And when they walked away, somebody or both people, because think about the whole table. Now, this is interesting. You sit at the table. We sit there a couple hours. There are people that won. Some people lose. And both, so let's say the guy sitting next to me, although I'm not engaged with him in any way other than the fact that we're at the table and our energies and that flow. Some people believe, again, at the blackjack table, for instance, that how people play and how the cards flow, and whether you take a hit and you do all these kind of different things, they affect the flow of the cards and then thus the outcomes. But imagine this. If me and you are sitting at the table and then we walk away, a lot of times you may have put more in and lost much more than me. So then that effect that I had, even though both of us sat there to win, and our best outcome would have been to walk away and we had a pocket full of chips. It doesn't always work out that way. And so if we bring it back to the relationship, many times the investment that you put in may not be returned. And at the end of the game, and because most of us have been in at least one relationship, if not two or more, we know that those relationships do end. And when we end, some of us walk away with different feelings about what happened, and some not happy about it. Some of us, when we go to the casino, we lose, but we cool with it, meaning we lost more than the guy that got up from the table with us. But we understood that was the game. So we don't begrudge anybody.
I have to interject because here is one of my listeners having to be someone that I grew up with. And he's been hitting me up on Facebook Live while the show has been live and saying that he really wants to get in on the conversation. So without further ado, we're going to bring on Super Duper, who's in ATL right now. Super.
Yes, ma'am.
Is this the Super?
How y'all doing?
Hello, this is Bree. You're on Bree Life Radio. Is this Super Duper?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Good. How y'all doing?
Well, how you doing, bro?
I'm good, man.
You?
God bless you with the same name, man. It's all good. Mark, Super Mark Duper. What's going on?
ATL, by way of Crown Heights. Super Duper.
It's Mark in Houston by way of Chicago and Minneapolis.
No doubt. That's what's up. You know, let me just say this. You know, you mentioned this lottery thing. You know, you have to also look at, you know, what y'all talked about prior. Was it last week or prior to that, where you looked at different women, you know, that you've dated, you know. You dating one, you dating two, you dating three. I mean, it, like you said, it is a lottery. Can y'all hear me?
It is. Yeah, we hear you. I mean, I hear you. I don't know everybody else. well, I mean, yeah. To what Brother Mark in Atlanta just said, I you can use it in any number of ways. You can use it from the number of people, how much you're willing to put, who you're willing to invest in, how much time a person gets. And we're not going to be talking about the whole concept of dating numerous people, because if you're dating, again, back to the loose term dating. When I say dating, you have two levels of dating. You have dating meaning when me and you are going out, and it's me and you. And then it's when I am seeing or sampling. So I call it sampling. That might be looked at as a derogatory way of thinking about human beings, but in a way, I'm sampling. I'm trying to find out what's going to best fit me.
Yeah, see, Brother Mark in Houston, Texas, he wore a roadie. He wore a beef patty. He wore some cocoa bread. He wore some baked. Boiled dumpling. He tried to test out every little thing on the plate. Is that my understanding?
Well, think about it. Here's the thing. We're going to go with your same thing. I mean, I like Rhodey, but everybody don't like the way it's made, and everybody don't make it the same way, so to speak. So, therefore, if we put a Rhodey there, we have some jerk chicken, and we have some, you know, you name all the different type of cuisine, some plantains, whatever the case may be. I'm tasting a piece. I didn't take a whole big old bowl. I didn't take a whole platter. I took a piece. I'm tasting it. And the more, if I like the way it tastes, I may go further with it and go further with it and go further with it. I may say it's not bad, but I don't want that much of that. So I'm gonna move on. I'm gonna move on. Cause I'm checking
okay,
it out.
Okay, so Mark from Atlanta, what was the point that you wanted to make?
Well, when you're looking at a situation of being with someone or you're trying to get to know someone, you know, you're looking at, you know, getting to know a person. Okay, I'm getting to know Bree, you know, see how she is, you know, get to know her way, stuff like that. Okay, fine. But it's not really going anywhere. Okay, I just so happen to meet somebody else, you know, and there's nothing wrong in, you know, chatting with this person and seeing, you know, what is going to be the outcome of this, you know, because you're putting it out front. Look, I'm single, I'm dating, you know, whatever happens, happens. If it's meant to be, it'll be, you know. Y'all talked about, you know, prior in regards
to... Yeah, but
to,
what I want to know is, if I could interrupt, I'd like to know, when you're dating me, and you're trying to see what's going on and, you know, what Bree is like and all that stuff, and then nothing really, you know, happens, and then you meet somebody else, are you disclosing that it's your opinion that nothing's happening and you about to move around? Or are you just moving around? And you not doing no kind of communicate.
Well, what do you mean communicating?
Now, don't say what's in your heart.
Around.
Don't say anything that's, you know, just for the airwaves. I want you to keep it real.
I'm asking a question because, you know, we talk, so I'm asking a question. You know, I mean.
Are you asking me the question? Or who are you asking the question to?
Are you asking
Mark
say,
in Houston?
No. What I'm asking is, am I to tell you, am I to tell Bree that, you know, if I feel nothing's really popping off at this moment, am I to tell Bree that I'm going to go see somebody else or I'm going to talk to somebody else or I met somebody else?
Super.
Is that like what I should be telling you?
Now listen,
you know Bree
for a long time, and if you talking about Bree, you know some communication got to take place.
Come on, I'm saying general. I'm just saying, but, you know.
But if you just, you know, but if, I think it as where we are in our lives as 40-plus-year-old people, we should really do better communication with one another. Excuse me?
I said, y'all that old?
am I getting ready to put full disclosure in our conversation or what? Okay, you better not act up.
Hold on. Let me say this. We grown folks. We grown folks.
So somebody about to get their AARP card on this line, and it ain't me. Okay?
I mean, when you look at it, we grown folks. Well, we do meet people.
I know, but no. Here's my point. Here's how I'm answering the question. I think that there should be a level of communication that takes place between you and whomever that person is. That, hey, I'm not really feeling like this is going in the direction that I wanted to go in. What do you think? How do you feel? And then if that person tells you the same thing or they feel different, have some dialogue about that because maybe there's something that you can tweak to get it on the path that it needs to be on so that you can continue to move forward together. But if you both not in the same place at the same time and there's a lot of moving around going on, then you should move around and move on. Don't waste somebody's time.
So
basically,
you use the word should, which means that you believe that someone should do something. So I will say,
well,
this.
He's talking to me, so I'm telling him what I think.
No, I understand. I understand who you're talking to, and I understand what's being said. I guess what I am saying is, to add to this conversation is that, number one, I'm not obliged to tell you, meaning not Bree, but whoever it is. There's no obligation for me to tell you anything, especially if we have not made a commitment. If I'm calling you asking you to go out to dinner, and we've done that several times, if we talk on the phone, but I clearly have not said to you, and you have not, and you may have said something to me, but I didn't agree with that about some kind of relationship that we have, I'm just not available on Thursday night. This is not about
okay,
well,
you that's
the scene,
and that's
night.
The problem. A lot of people have a problem with you.
Wait a minute.
A lot of my callers. My listeners have a problem with you because you don't feel obliged to tell anything to anyone. And that is the common problem that happens between men and women. That's why people get their feelings hurt. That's why, because people don't feel obliged to let somebody know where they really stand in.
No, Bree, what I'm saying to you, this
listen,
is
no,
I'm
he's talking
that.
About, Mark from Atlanta is talking about getting to know after having, I'm going to make an assumption, Mark, super duper, you talking about, let's say you've been marinated with somebody for about 90 days, right? Maybe even 6 months, right?
Oh, but if I'm marinating in that time frame, then it's that person, you know. And
yeah, I don't think that's what.
But what you're saying is that you feel like at a certain point, the person and you are not going in the same direction. You feel like something's off. Do you feel? And then you say, should you disclose to that person that you're not feeling them? Or you feel that something's off and you're ready to move around, right?
If I'm ready to move, okay. All right, what I was trying to get was something different, but let me retract what I was saying, okay? We all, I meet you, I meet her, and I meet her, okay? Just so happened. And then we all three of us, all of us are just chatting, we get to know each other. You know, we feel each other, you know, one person, you know, we may go out to dinner. We chat and have a conversation. It's good. It's okay. You know, and then we chat every now and again. You know, another person, it's probably the same thing. We're just getting to know each other, you know.
Right.
I don't feel that it's, you know, my obligation to tell you that I'm seeing this person, I'm seeing this person, because with all three of you, the ladies and myself, there's really nothing there, you know, so I shouldn't have to say anything. Now, if you're talking about it's gone 90 days, time has passed with one of the ladies, then, you know, of course, I'm going to have to go with that lady that I've been dealing with because I've been spending more time with that person. But if you're not really
let me just ask you, how do you manage, how does Super Duper manage three people at the same time? I mean, what does that look like? Because there's only 24 hours in a day.
It's been done.
You're working.
It's all about time. It's been done because it's all about
time. Oh, you talk about
time
management, right? Okay, so explain to me. How does one manage three women? And mind you, I'm also gathering that these three people live like within a 50-mile radius to where you live, right? You're not talking about no long distance anything, right?
No, not long distance, no.
Okay, so how do you manage that? How do you navigate that? How do you work, be daddy, and time manage three women?
at the same time.
Conversation, time.
Well,
you know, you look at being able to speak to this person. I speak to you today. There's nothing wrong with speaking to you today. You decide you want to make get together, you know, so we make the time to get together. You know, I speak
mm-hmm.
to you. You say you want to get together. Okay, we make this arrangement, you know, on another day. It's not
mm-hmm.
the same day. I mean, as time goes, you know.
You're going to do three, like Brother said, we might as well do 10.
But, Bruce, hey,
I have a comment. Once again, the terrorist is called dating. Whether it's 30 days, 60 days, 90, 120, or whatever. If you and the other consensual person is comfortable with the status of dating, it is what it is, dating. Dating means that you are engaging with people. It doesn't indicate that you're intimate with them. It means that you're spending time with people, getting to know people.
Okay, so here's the thing.
Let me finish this. So if the other party starts to feel that after a certain amount of time that they should go from dating and into a long-term relationship, that's something that that's a conversation that has to go on between the two parties. My point is,
I have two things to say about this. And, I, you know, because I'm outnumbered, which ain't no big deal to me, you know, I ain't scared of y'all. But here's what I want to say. What would men seem to feel the most comfortable length of time that should expire between them and a woman before deciding that something should be committed?
Well,
because it also goes back to something that an older gentleman said on one of my shows, I think maybe last week or the week before last. You know, not to like frog leap to the ultimate commitment, which is marriage, but no one seems to ever be talking about. I don't hear anyone ever saying that they want to be in a committed relationship. I mean, like, what is wrong with society today that... This is where we are right now. We on Bree Life Radio. And this is my question to the callers. What's up with that? I mean, you know, here's the thing. Women and men always enter in this thing we call being in a relationship. Because I don't care if you label it dating or being involved or whatever. When you're spending time talking, sharing space and time eating, sharing space and time being intimate, you are relating to one another. Therefore, you are in a relationship.
Okay.
And
we're in a relationship with three people right now.
Okay.
We all built each other then, huh?
Yeah. And I'm fully disclosing. I ain't happy
that's
with either
Bree's
one of
opinion.
You. How's
that's
about
Bree's
that?
Opinion.
Yeah, we know.
Bree Life Radio.
Bree Life's opinion.
each relationship, but you have to go back into this. You have to go into this. Each relationship is a relationship on various levels. You can have multiple relationships. Men and women do it all the time. You can have male friends.
Every day.
Guys can have female friends. But it's the relationships at different levels. There's friendships, there's intimate relationships, and then there's full-blown relationships. Men and women on both sides of the triangle, they have a mixture of both. That's a healthy relationship.
Okay. I'm going to put you guys on for a moment because I have to bring in one of my one other very special caller to me. This is Chris from New York. We haven't heard from him in a little while, but his presence is always missed, and I'm glad to know that he is still supporting the show. So without further ado, we're going to bring Chris from New York on the line. Chris!
Hello.
Hello. Peace and blessings, baby. How are you?
I'm fine. Just listening in, seeing y'all going back and forth on this.
You see, as usual, you know, nothing's changed since 15. I'm still still debating.
You can't change the world in the afternoon, you know?
So what do you think about what we're talking about right now?
Well, I kind of like the idea of setting up some parameters that are going to govern each of these relationships, you know? I like the idea of there being disclosure as far as what the parameters of the relationship are. I don't know who said something about going from dating to a full-blown relationship. I mean, I think that if you're single, if you're dating, your dating could be used as exploring. I mean, you're just trying to see what's out there or what's available. I think that the next step would be a relationship where y'all are going to just concentrate on each other and see, you know, and see if y'all
can get the chemistry. Let me ask you this, Chris, and we talked about this offline, but I don't know, I can't quite remember, because you know we talk about a lot of stuff. I can't remember quite what we both agreed on. What do you think is the appropriate amount of time that a man and woman date, so to speak, before they come to a place of, you know, having this conversation and saying, how has it been for you? This is it. This is how it's been for me. Okay?
Well,
it's all gravy. Now, what's the next step?
Yeah, well, it depends on the woman. I mean, I move very quickly. If you want to run at my pace, we can get it done very quickly. But the way most people are gun shy because they've been hurt or they've been with people who have been hurt, sometimes it takes a little longer. But I know that I wouldn't spend basically more than I call it four seasons. I wouldn't spend more than a year with anybody if I wasn't that serious.
Unbelievable. I have not heard a man kind of agree with the fact that a year is enough time.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a basic thing. It's four seasons. After the four seasons, we're all only going to do it again.
Exactly. Mark from Houston, Texas, what do you think about what Chris has said?
Well, again, I guess, as far as disclosure and the four seasons and, you know, the autumnal equinox and everything else, I don't know. I mean, look. Everybody has to figure their own thing out. I mean, it's quite personal, number one. Number two, if I'm dating, if whatever dating is, if it's selection, if it's like the buffet, if it's me and Rhodey and anything else, my thing is this. What did you all agree on? this is what I believe. If there's no mutual agreement, there is no agreement. So I don't care how much time I spend with you. If nobody's designating who we are in relation to each other, meaning we know we're in relationship, like we said before, I'm in relationship to everything in this world. I got spatial distance. I got some kind of interaction with everything in this world. I'm part of this world, so I'm in relationship with it. But I usually designate what these things are. I have a landlord-tenant relationship. I have a mother-son relationship. And you know the rest of them. We can go on and on and on. Those are Let me finish. Until someone designates what we are by agreement, then we ain't.
Yeah, but see, that's the key point right there. And Mark from Atlanta, you know, please, I want you to chime in on this. This is what I say to you. You can, that sounds good as long as you're present. It seems to me, not to single anybody out, but there seems to be some type of resistance to being present. I mean, is it just me?
Wait.
Other people hear this.
Okay, let me say this real quick. On top of that, on top of what you just said, the other thing is, hey, it's no resistance. It's just about people saying what you want. Here's the thing. Back to my point. If we're at the table and you decide Mark is moving like a turtle, get up. You don't like how I'm moving. Then it ain't going to be no Four Seasons. Why? Because you have decided Mark ain't asking me to be his boyfriend fast enough. Mark ain't doing whatever Mark needs to do. If you want to force Mark's hand and say, hey, man, we've been sitting around this table for a season, for a quarter, and I ain't heard you say nothing about I'm going to be your man, your woman. What's up with that? Or you may say, you know what, in your head, you know what, Mark, I'm not going to talk to you no more. Whatever. My point is, someone makes that decision or makes that move, and then you work accordingly. You work accordingly. So Chris said Four Seasons. If he's sitting around having a conversation, then I'm assuming after the first quarter or less, he done already made a decision, she's the one. So guess what? Ain't no other conversations being had on a romantic level or on an inquiry level as to inquiring about a relationship once he's made that move, whatever part of the season he moves in. So
okay, Chris.
Yeah.
Your Four Seasons indicate that these are your rules of engagement. Now,
right.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
I mean, that's as far, my point is that that's as far as I'm going to take it. That's not the least amount of time that I'm going to take it, because sometimes you find out in a week or two that this is not going to work out. I mean, that's just as far as I'm going to take it. I mean, if I'm messing around with you, and me and you are not able to get to the point where this is it, me and you, basically, if I feel like you're a winner, you feel like I'm a winner. And sometimes it's on either side. I mean, you got women out here that move real slow, and you got a lot of people out here that'll give you everything that they have to offer, but it's not enough. Now, in a situation like that, I wouldn't make a commitment to a person like that if they don't have what I really want. I mean, a lot of times we think we have these conversations with people over dinner, over drinks. And people talk about, well, you know, if somebody was doing the right thing by me, man, this would be no problem, or that would be no problem, or the other thing would be no problem. And then you find out when you provide those things that all of a sudden it's another excuse and another excuse and another excuse. So, I mean, I've had it both ways, where I'm the person or they're the person. The only thing I can say for a fact, I don't have a rule that goes along. I'm just not going. Nobody's going to say, oh, this dude been dating me for 3.5 years, and I don't know where I stand. If me and you can't get that far, I'm going to do myself a favor by stop wasting time with you and take that time that I'm still dating you after 1.5 years and go date somebody else because maybe she might be the one.
Yeah, well, again, all I think is this, and the more I hear us talk, I think it comes down to getting clarity as to what we are doing. And as far as a rule is concerned, everybody knows where they are. We can sit up here, all of us can sit up here, and we can come up with all kinds of scenarios. We can bring in little issues here. We can throw our caveats in there. We can do whatever we want to do. But at the end of the day, if Bree says she got four quarters and she got the first 90 days and whatever, then that's what she got. So that means people that engage with her are going to have to respect that and get down with that. If Chris says four seasons, then whoever he's dealing with, they're going to have to kind of get down with that or whatever the case may be. If she says they 10 people and do it for a whole two seasons, then we do that. I don't know. I guess the thing is, it's no universal.
Here's what I have to say about that. And this is the problem that I have, is that, like Super Duper indicated, that, you know, there could be three women. Super, you there?
Yeah.
Okay. He time manages.
That was Super.
Okay. So, here's the thing. Why you gotta be spread across so many people at the same time?
Okay.
Because nobody gets the best of you.
But why
I'm not talking to you, Mark, from Houston, Texas. In general, why does one have to be spread across so many people at the same time? You don't give any one individual the best of who you are when you spreading yourself across so many people at the same time. Now, when we were in our 20s and our late teens, that's okay. But, you know, when you get older, do you really, you know, think that that's how one should conduct themselves? I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know that I would want to know that someone is dating me and two or three other people. Yes, for disclosure reasons, but I'm going to tell you honestly, and most women would feel this way too, if we knew that we weren't the only one, we'd have a disinterest. Because everybody wants to feel like they don't want. They want to feel like they
do the same thing. But women do the same thing, though. And they don't say nothing. They don't.
Okay, question.
This is not tit for tat.
They're getting the person out.
Question. I just got a question. I heard what you just said, Bree.
So I didn't hear Mark from Atlanta, please. What'd you say, Super?
I'm saying women do the same thing. You're sitting here talking about a man is sitting here is spreading himself out.
Oh, I'm not
women
bashing. Not bashing
now,
because on the Bree Life Radio Show, we
I'm
don't
just
do
saying,
that.
Women do the same thing as men.
But I'm
do.
Not talking about women right now. I'm talking about a man right now. As a woman, I'm asking men. There's three of you on the line. I'm asking you, why the need to spread yourselves so thin? Why? Could you please explain it to me and to those who are listening? Because, you know, women don't always get it. We want to understand because, hey, we want to feel like we the only one. We want to feel somewhat special. We want to feel that aside from your children and work and other social obligations or familial obligations that you may have, that we have a portion of your concentration and attention that counts.
Okay, but that's where the time comes into play. If you
time management. Be specific. You talk about time.
That's
with
time
and really
period.
What it requires is time management if you do it your way.
Okay. Wow. You know, okay. Let me know when I can talk. Just let me know.
I want before Mark from Houston says anything, I want Chris to say something.
Well, the only thing I have to say to answer your question is that there's a lot of women out there that you're not familiar with. There's a lot of women out there that only have a certain amount of time that they want to work on their relationship, and they only have a certain amount of time that they want to play house with some men. Now, I think that maybe in your case, where you deal with females, or you might deal with a relationship yourself in a way where, you know, if you really like a guy, you really feel the guy, you might want to spend as much time with him as possible. But there's a lot of women out here, and women working all kind of jobs now, police department, fire department, up here in New York. You got girls that got Tuesday and Wednesday off. You got girls that got Friday and Saturday off. You got girls only off on Monday. Between our age bracket, time with the kids, and so on and so forth, sometimes you might have these things may never meet, and you don't have to do nothing special to keep these people apart. Because their situation
but you still talking about this, you're flipping this around, and I'm not saying you're doing it intentionally, but you're not answering my question. My question is, why feel the need? And if I had another woman on the line and she said the same thing that Super said, I would be asking her the question too. Why the need? Navigating between multiple people.
I think a lot of the reasons.
You cannot give a person quality time or attention when you've divided yourself up.
You can do that. Yeah, hold on, wait. If I can say something, please.
Let me say one thing. The funny part that I don't think that people realize is that the other side of this scenario is, what is the woman bringing to the table? What is the woman bringing to the table? If the woman is only bringing, none of us are here to say that this woman is wrong, because you know what? She's got one quality day to spend with that man. Now, he gives her exactly what she asked for, exactly what she requires, and she's good. And at the end of that day, that man who is dating, trying to find someone for himself to spend his life with, that man is supposed to now sit on his hands for the next 6 days a week until she gets another 4 hours or 6 hours to spend with that man? You can't be serious. A lot of these time constraints are not because the man is only giving you. The man is giving you what you want. If that man is not giving you the time that you require, well, then it's time for you to move on. It's not the other way around. You're the one that dictates the relationship.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
You know that is not really always the case. You know that, I'm shocked and really shocked with you, Chris, because you should know better. But I've heard this recently from Mr. Solutions to say that women dictate the relationship. No, we do not. We do not.
You're entitled to your opinion. I do believe that you dictate your relationship with me. I dictate my relationship with you. Now, anything that you don't want to deal with, you're going to say no, pack up your shit, and walk out the door. Anything that I believe is ridiculous.
We don't curse on Blue Life Radio.
I'm going to do the same thing. If you put something on the table that I can't deal with, I'm going to pack up my toys and leave. You understand? So there is. So I don't feel any kind of way about someone who calls themselves an adult, who calls themselves grown, who calls themselves mature, pays taxes, works for a living, works on a job, takes care of a house, takes care of a family. And you mean to tell me that this person can't look at this guy that says, Well, you know, look, man, you know, I ain't really, you know, into nothing right now. You know, I ain't really trying to offer you nothing right now. I'm not really trying to get in nothing too serious right now. I mean, she does not, this person has come this far, and she does not have the right to pack up her toys and go. These people
she
are
absolutely has the right to pack up her toys and leave.
These relationships by choice, not by force.
Of course.
And these men are in these relationships by choice, not by force. The reason why I know the power that people carry into a relationship is because I have walked away from people who have said, yo, where you going? I'm not done yet. I'm saying, hey, I'm done now. Have a nice day. I have also been in a relationship with women who have said, yo, I don't feel like playing no more. I'm done. So I don't think for one second that each person does not dictate, but I refuse to call anybody the victim when each person has the power.
But see, again, we are moving away from my question. And it's really very simple. It's very simple. I want to know.
They got all the power they need.
I want to know, why does one feel the need to date multiple people at the same time? That's all I want to know right now. For the three men that are on the line, and you know what? Maybe to switch this up, I'm going to take a call. I don't know where this person is calling from, but I hope it's a woman. Hold on. Peace and blessings. You've reached Bree Life Radio. I'm your hostess, Bree. Who may I have the pleasure of speaking with this evening? Hello? Hello? Well, I think that caller is preoccupied. Okay. Now, Super, I think there was something you wanted to say a few minutes ago.
Let me say this. Your question, why? You're dating. Nothing is set in stone. You're sitting here, you meet a person. They don't really have that much time, but they are willing to spend time. Okay, like Chris said, are you supposed to just sit there if you want one person? Are you supposed to sit there and wait until she becomes available? So you're just sitting there and not doing nothing, not meeting nobody else. You're dating, nothing is set in stone. If I meet another person, why would it be wrong to talk to that next person? If that person is willing to give more time than this first person that I have met, who's not really given the time, why not talk to this next person? I'm dating.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, nothing's set in stone. I'm not sitting here, I didn't tell this first person, yo, even though I'm going to wait for you and see you once a week for a couple of hours, I'm not going to be nobody else. I'm not going to see nobody else. If I'm a grown person, I happen to meet somebody that attracts my eye, you know, and we're willing to chat, why not? You know, nothing is, you know, it's not set in stone.
Okay, so here's my question
to
all three of you. Do you think that seeing someone maybe, let's just say, once a week on an average 8 hours in that week's time?
Nope.
Is acceptable?
Nope.
Who says that?
Nope. Chris said nope.
Okay, what say you, Super? I'm sorry?
I say no.
No. What about Mark from Houston, Texas?
What's the question?
Oh, boy. I said, wonder if you met someone, you really like them, but they have some scheduling problems because they work,
mm-hmm.
they go to school, you know,
mm-hmm.
they have elderly parents at home that they are also the caregiver for, and this person only has one day a week, and on the average 8 hours out of that day to spend with you. And it's going to be that way for about a year. What do you think that that's enough time to spend with someone for a whole year?
Well,
and that's the way that you build your relationship, or do you think that the person that is the person that's contemplating whether or not they're going to be with that individual should move around?
Okay, this is what I think. I think this. I think if you spend in 8 hours a week, one day, and as things go, especially if there's face-to-face, if there's face-to-face, there's a good chance that intensity is going to change. And if intensity changes, let's say on the side of the woman that came up with this once-a-week thing, in 8 hours because of her various commitments. What usually happens is, as I've been hearing what I heard Mark say, and I kind of heard what Chris was saying about the women around that, you know, that got a lot of things going on their plate. The reality is this. When you present to me what you have, and let's say that's your disclosure, you present to me what you have, then I'll work with that until such time that it's not cool for me, because my level of exploration with you and the intensity that I bring to our interaction and the dynamic I bring, hell, 2 months down the line, you may decide you have to find somebody to watch your elderly parents because you're feeling me like that. You see what I'm saying? So I can't – all I know is that you give what you have and you see where it goes. That's how I look at it. It's so simple to me. It's not even no rocket science. You give what you have, meaning what you have allotted that you're going to give, and you see where it goes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would never
I want to say one other thing to that was bandied about earlier, this whole issue of you asked a question about why.
Who's you?
Do we have to date so many people, and three people, or whatever? Okay, this is what I'm going to tell you. There's no have-tos in it. But if you're talking to various people and various people bring various things to the table and you're inquiring, because remember, this is a time of inquiry at a certain point. You're inquiring. So you spend some time over here, you spend some time over there, you spend some time over there. And as you come, remember, if your desire is to be in a committed relationship, if that's your ultimate desire, then what's going to happen, generally speaking, what's going to happen is somebody is going to pop out or somebody is going to eliminate themselves. And guess what might end up happening? At the end of a couple of months, it may not be none of them available no more. They may have X'd you out, like I was hearing Chris saying. We don't make a decision for you. We do not make a decision for you. But generally speaking, women do have a lot of power in a relationship because usually based upon how we are socialized, men go after generally speaking. Now, I understand you're going to find somebody that breaks the mold. But generally speaking, we are the pursuer. So you
okay,
are losing
well,
a lot of
no,
work.
Hold on, Brother Mark, because speaking of women, that is a perfect way to segue and introduce my Gail, my special Gail, Turtle. So without further ado, we're going to bring Turtle on the line. And let's all chant it. Where is she?
Hello?
Turtle's in the house.
Hello, everyone. I'm going to listen for a while. Just tune in. Hi.
So, Sister Gail, I know you've been listening.
No, I just turned in. Seriously, I just turned
in. Okay. We are talking about, at this point, we're talking about dating multiple people at the same time.
Okay.
And my concern about it is that one doesn't have the opportunity to really give the quality to an individual when they're spread over two or three people at the same time. So, of course,
yeah,
let me just introduce you to some of our callers. Of course, we have Chris from New York.
Say hello, Chris.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
And then we have a new caller this week, another one of my friends that I grew up with, Super Duper, Mark from Atlanta.
Hello, Gail, Minnesota.
Yes, hello.
And then, of course, the most famous, infamous.
Really?
Really?
Hey, Gail, what's up?
So, right, now that
Gail,
everyone has...
You're going to do this to me. What's up, Gail?
Okay, so now that everyone knows who's on the line, Gail, what say you about this topic? Gail moves slow. So
yeah, there you go.
Don't be surprised of what she might say.
Right. But I'm a listen for a few minutes. I just heard when you were introducing, someone said, you know, the statement you made that it's hard to juggle three or something.
Yeah.
And then one of the male species said, "It's hard."
The
male. It's hard for women, but not me, or something
species.
Like that. Of the male gender. Species. Of the male gender.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, we all got out of us and out of us. Some got a little more than others, but you know.
Yes,
but yeah, somebody said it's hard for women, but not males. Is that what they said? But I'm gonna listen to it.
Well, one person said, I believe it was Chris, said that a woman tends to lead the relationship, but then again, he also implied that men do too. So, which I agree. I believe that that both men and women are setting the tones, or should be partnering to set the tones for the relationship. But see, we use, meaning women tend to use the word relationship when we're titling an interaction between ourselves and a man. Men are very specific in saying that they're merely dating. And that's another thing I want to talk about in the next half hour, how we place labels or don't place labels on things, because that would also imply behavior that's supposed to be associated. So please continue on. Mark in Houston, Texas.
Well, I mean, all I think about is this. I mean, I think that, again, we talk about traditions, and then in a traditional setting, men pursue women traditionally. We have a lot of changes and shifts in society, but to some extent, again, when you said the whole concept of why do we have to date three people? Because what happens, generally speaking, is men are selecting. They're choosing. They're trying to find out. And then you decide whether you want to be bothered with him when he decides to say, hey, Bree, you're going to be the one for me. And you say, I don't know if I'm going to be the one for you. And then I have to deal with Bree and her decision as to whether she's going to accept my desire to be with her. Because usually still, men ask the woman to be the quote-unquote girlfriend. Usually women are saying, would you be my boyfriend, per se. I ain't saying it don't happen. Don't get it twisted. I understand there's going to be an aberration out here, and an anomaly out here. But generally speaking, the guy is asking the girl. So that is why most of us do believe that women generally dictate the pace to which this thing is going to happen. Because if I push up fast on you, you can push the brakes. Not that we can't. But we're pursuing. It's kind of like George, with George Clinton. He said, why must I be like that? Why must I chase the cat? It's the dog.
Yeah, but that was in 1986, man. Don't let, please.
That's a baby.
Come on now.
Trust and believe.
Listen.
We still chase the cat. We do.
Yeah, you know what? No, the cat is chasing the dogs now. Because there's more cats than there are dogs, okay?
I understand how many out there, but you know what? Especially if we're dealing with people in our age group, there's a lot of traditions are still embedded in the back of our mind. So even when I talk to women who will pursue God, they kind of almost feel a little funny about it still because it's a role reversal in a sense, especially from a traditional standpoint. Now, you're talking about 20-year-olds, I can't even tell you what they're doing out there. I don't know what they're doing. They might do all kinds of stuff. But I'm talking about when you start talking about 40-plus, we kind of are trying to figure out this new landscape because we do come from traditions. And now
but you know what? We come from tradition, but here's the thing. A lot of us are not exercising the cultural traditions that we grew up in the midst of. You know, technically speaking, I mean, if I was to speak personally for myself, I'm supposed to be with a particular type of man right now. I should have never been with the people that I was in the past because my traditions and my culture didn't allow for that. So I decided not to go along with tradition, and I did things differently than my mother and father would have, you know, preferred. So that's why when you it's not even applicable right now because life has changed. Technology has driven the social change for the last 20 years.
Bree, what I'm saying though is this: I'm not saying that we're not making shifts. I'm talking about that there is a part of us because we grew up in it that's still part of us. Now we may buck it, but that's the whole point.
Part
we're
of us,
it.
A part and exercising are two very different things.
Okay, but what I'm talking about an underlying thing. I'm talking about underpinnings. I'm talking about the fact that it's there, but we have, when we say overcome it, that means that in order to overcome it, we're admitting it's there. We're constantly juggling it. We're trying to move around it. And what I'm saying is from a traditional standpoint, because I still talk enough to enough women to know they have very traditional perceptions of men. Even if they chase after them, they still, once we get together, think there's certain things he's supposed to be doing.
True. And I agree with that point because from what I'm hearing, and I talked to four men specifically in the last 48 hours, and each one of them who are single have told me that there are women that are saying that it doesn't matter if a man has a job, even if he has a place to live. They're willing to take on the traditional role of leadership in the relationship as it would apply to a man.
Right.
So that just goes to show you that chasing the cat theory does not apply here.
Here's the thing, Bree. Here's the thing that is true, but you have to ask yourself a question. If they can stay together for 2 years at least, will tradition kick in? Because remember, tradition dies hard. It dies hard. And we may be willing to buck tradition to get into the relationship, but you'll be surprised how tradition's ugly little head peeks back up somewhere along the line if you stay together long enough. That's all I'm saying. And I've seen it. I've been there. I can promise you it can do that. All this, I won't take care of you shit. Bull, excuse my language, but bull. Because at the end of the day, there's a perception of what should happen. So in the beginning, in the courting and the catching standpoint, fine. Because remember, she may see a lot of great things about you that she wants. Let it marinate. Be in a relationship long enough. You'll find out. Now, maybe it will work out that way. But tradition, especially in our age group, trust me, it has a way of kicking back in.
Okay, what say you, Mark, from Atlanta? Because I'm interested in hearing what you think about that, Mark from Atlanta. Okay, Mark from Atlanta's not there. Chris from New York.
I'm here.
Okay. What do you say about what Mark has said?
I feel what Mark is saying. You know, you got to look at the situation. I mean, you're sitting here, and I go back to time. I'm okay. Let's just scratch out the three different women. Okay, let's go back to what Chris say. You know, if I'm gonna meet you today, you know, and we getting to know each other, but yet you constantly busy. You know, do I just sit and wait until you are available? You know, I'm sitting here and I'm like, I want to get to know you, but I really can't get to know you because you're busy, which is understandable because you're getting your life in order. But you want to try to get to know me, but you're not giving up the time to do so. So me as a man, and I am single, am I to just sit here and just wait, you know, 6 days out the week and wait until you become available on the seventh day? You know, and then you really don't have time, and then we really not conversating as much, but yet you are interested and would want to, but not putting in any time on, only have to wait on the seventh day for you to be able
well,
to spend.
Well, here's my answer to your
8
question.
Hours.
And I have two answers
so
for that.
To just sit
one,
there, so I'm like, so I meet somebody else. So what's wrong with
okay,
me?
So I have two
answers
for that statement. One, I feel that you have to do an assessment of the individual and gather whether or not they're worth waiting around those 6 days for. Because there may be something about that person that's worth sitting around the six days for, or saying to the person, listen, I know you got stuff going on, and I'm in support of what you're trying to do for yourself or the support you might be loaning to your family. But you still got to remember that, hey, I'm over here, and I'm interested in you. So I may need for you to try to make it a day and a half, not a day. I'll support you for the day for a little while, but you might have to stretch it. You might have to move something around so you can move me in, you know, into focus. Or here's the second part of that. Even though a person may seem as though they might be worth it, you got to be real with yourself to say, this person may be worth it, but I need something fundamentally right now. Because right now is really all I have promised to me. So go on and be, you know, move around and, you know, but that person does, in my opinion, deserve some type of disclosure. If you're going to move around on this person that you're really feeling, you should let them know. It's not that I don't like you, but this is something that I need for me. Because, like, you doing that for you over there 6 days a week, I need to be present for me 7 days a week. That's all I have to say on that point. Anybody have anything to say? Well, I guess not. Dead silence.
Well, I mean, hey, you're showing, I mean, that is a point of view that you have the right to, and you know that. I mean, I don't know. I just think that if we're seeking unanimity, we're not going to get it. But one thing we will agree on is that everybody has to check themselves as to what's comfortable for them, what they believe right, their moral compass, their social concepts, their whatever. And then when Mark brings whatever, then the young lady is going to have to make a decision what she wants to do. And she will. They all do. Pick, choose, and refuse. They all do.
And you know what? And here's the thing. But this is not checkers, this is chess. Why do you find that a person only makes a move when one is provoked? So now here's the same person, Super, that's sitting by six of the days a week for her to come along. Now, she might come along on the seventh day and then find that you're not present. or that you may be present, but you're not really engaged with her. You're not happy because you've been waiting for 6 days. You kind of frustrated. You got a little attitude. It's not why does it have to get to that point for a person to see, you know what? I can't be so neglectful of this person because I don't want to lose the opportunity to continue to get to know them. Why do you find that we put ourselves in those positions to where, you know, we almost provoke a person to the point of being dismayed before we get it?
Maybe they just ain't the one.
I'm sorry?
I'm saying, maybe they just ain't the one. That's it.
Right.
I mean, anybody who doesn't understand the concept of dating, understand the concept of dating. Dating is like looking for a job. who in their right mind, you build up your resume and you send it out. Who the heck sends out a resume to one employer and sits around and waiting for them to get back to them? No, you send that out to as many as possible.
Okay, so check this out. What about those who get the job but still look for new positions?
Well, those kind of people.
You think that once you found a job, you should continue the job search?
I think that depends on the man. I mean, that depends on the woman too, because if that's what you're going for, that's your business. I don't feel sorry for any adults that go for the okey doke. I'm sorry, I don't.
But this is not about feeling sorry for nobody.
The whole point is this. Everybody decides how they want to engage out here. Everybody decides how they want to dress. And then if you don't like it, then you can move around. I mean, it's hard as that is to grasp. That's really what happens. Because think about how many people you refuse because you didn't like where they were coming from.
Wait, why do I have to be...
I'm not saying... I'm not saying... Okay,
right.
I'm not talking about you, per se. I'm saying... Okay,
I have a disclaimer out there now.
Have you ever turned down any guy that pursued you?
Oh, gosh. Have I ever turned anyone down? Yes, I have turned a person or two down.
Okay, and let me ask you a question. I don't want to know the reason why. I think you have a reason to do so.
I'm sorry?
I'm not asking you what the reason why. I don't want to know. But did you have a reason for turning them down?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, next question.
Absolutely.
Were you wrong? Were you wrong for turning them down?
Was I wrong for turning them down? Absolutely not.
Okay.
Not.
Sure.
Because Chris, what's my famous saying? What's my saying, Chris?
You can say it.
What do I say?
It sounds better coming from you. Go ahead.
The answer is no.
Yeah.
So when I say the answer is no, I've thoroughly given it thought, and I know all the reasons why, and I never, once I say no, that's it. I don't second guess myself.
All right, then. So, here's the thing. So then, if you have been pursued, and you have turned it down, and you were cool with it, then it was good. Conversely, if I want to pursue several people, and find out what they want, and then decide after pursuing them which one I want, And if they agree with me once I come back, so remember, I ain't telling Bree I'm dating Janet. I ain't telling her that because that ain't our business. So I'm going to date Bree, and I'm going to date Janet. And I'm going to look at both of them, and I'm going to look at both of them. And I'm going to say, you know what? I like Bree.
I don't like the
and
way
you
know that.
And I'm going to pop the question to Bree, and then guess what Bree might say? She's still going to say no.
Oh, Bree going to say
what?
No.
I got to deal with it.
Keep using me like this. Bree going to say no. Let's be clear. Let us be clear. The answer is no.
Right. The answer is no. Remember, you don't know I'm dating Janet because I ain't telling you I'm dating Janet. So I'm deciding, you know what? I don't want to mess with Janet. I want to mess with Bree. But I still got to get Bree's consent on how further she wants to go. She may be fine with drinks and a cocktail. That's all she wants to do. And she may friend zone me and even tell
Here's
her.
Here's the thing. Because why I'm being used like this tonight, I really am not feeling very happy about this. I must say that. But if we're going to use me, let's keep it real, okay? And this goes back to something I said, and this is the third time I'm saying it, and I'll probably say it one more time before the show ends. You have to pay attention. Because Super Duper may think that all that time management he got going on may work for some people. It would not work for Bree. Because Bree is kind of greedy.
No,
he's going to need time management for me. Because
she don't want
to work out how he going to manage to go to work and do other stuff and do Bree. Because,
right.
That goes to paying attention. Because if you feel like you being around, moved around like a chess piece, you got to peep that out. You got to ask some questions. You got to be like, well, you know, what's going on here?
But here's the deal.
Well, that's
here's
what my
deal.
Point was. At some point, intuition kicks in and a woman knows what's going on. Now,
we always know whether or not we choose to deal with it
exactly.
or address it.
Wait a minute.
Intuition kicks in and we know that y'all... You moving around and you doing things. So this is what, like you said, you decide whether you want to deal with it, you want to play a little game, what you plan, because life is a game. So you decide, okay, well, he ain't married to nobody, so then I'm going to put my cards in and see where they fall.
But wait a minute. Bree used the example of a woman that had her elderly parents that had a couple hours a week. Guess what? If I'm dealing with her, then guess what that means? I've got options to move around and keep her there while she does what she does. The bottom line is that Bree wouldn't be one of them people there. If Bree is required 24 hours of my day just about, I can't deal with her like that. So therefore, I'm going to either deal with her or I'm not, and that's okay. Because if I'm going to be dealing with three women, they're going to have spaces where I can deal with them like that. And if you're not one of them kind of women, then I won't deal with you that way. It couldn't be possible. You see what I'm saying?
Nope.
And that's what I was on. And again, I want to say this. I'm not promoting this position. I'm just saying this. I'm saying that it can be done, but it's going to be based upon who you're engaging with. Bree just stated she ain't going to, it ain't going to happen with her because Bree going to have you on the phone for 24 hours a day.
No, Bree don't really like nobody that much to be talking no daggone 24 hours a day. I'm tired of being used like
that. You have a GPS on you, so you ain't have to worry about that.
Oh, no. Wait, hold on. Pump the brakes, Mark from Houston, Texas. Okay? Because anybody that I would have to have GPS on is not somebody that I want and not somebody that I need.
I'm talking about your ESP is your GPS.
Okay, well, ESP and GPS, use the right acronym because I'm not putting GPS on anyone. It's not happening.
But you got your sensory out there, and you feeling what you're feeling.
Check this out. We all have sensory. We all have sensory.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you want this man to be the man, Remember this, Bree, and that's law. I think, but
it ain't just about me wanting him to be the man. He gotta know. He gotta come to the door knowing he's the man.
No, Chris. I mean, wait, Bree. Listen, Chris kind of was saying it, and Mark was kind of saying it, and I know Big C agrees with this. Here's the thing.
Big C, he faded into darkness.
Yeah, I understand, but Big C is always with us in spirit. Here's the deal. The bottom line is this, is that at the end of the day, you make a decision on what you want to do with who's engaging with you. And like Gail said, you got to, you feel whatever you feel. You use your sensory, whatever. You use what he's bringing to you. You use whatever it is. But if y'all didn't agree that y'all boyfriend and girlfriend, then it's all fair. It ain't no problem. That's all I'm saying.
Someone said, hey, Bree.
Me and Bree are an item.
Mark from Houston, Texas, please, 1 second. Who said Bree?
Yeah, I said it. I'd like to share a recent example with you.
Okay.
That's okay.
Yes.
All right, here's the example.
Name names, but you can give the example.
Here's a recent example, just to give you an example of what's going on out there. I met a lady, nice woman, nice looking, very well mannered, act great, self employed. I said, hey, let's go on a date. Would you like to go out? We go out. Grab a bite to eat, get to know each other, right? We went out, We went out to a restaurant, common, you know, nothing too fancy, nothing too shabby. Went out to a nice restaurant, sat down, had some drinks and some food. Then we went to a bar that was down the street, very wide open place, open door kind of place. Pool tables and ping pong tables and all that kind of stuff in there. We had one drink and had some more conversation, and I took her home. At the end of the evening, she said she had a nice time. I said I had a nice time. I said, let's do it again sometime, you know, when you get time. She said 2 weeks. 2 weeks from now. Now, at the end, right before the 2 weeks was up, she said she had to tell me something. And I said, well, what is it? She said she wanted me to know that she's been dating this guy for about a year. And that, she really didn't know where that situation was going. But she really did enjoy the time that we spent together, and she was interested in the fact that me and her could, you know, keep dating and maybe get a little closer, and, you know, because she really did enjoy the time that we spent together, and it was definitely something that was missing from the relationship that she'd been having with this guy that she'd been talking to and that she really cares about and she really likes for the last year. Now, I personally respectfully declined because that's not what I'm interested in.
Right.
But what I'm saying to you is that it's not always the man.
Oh, I know that. I understand that. I'm just a woman who deals with men. So if I'm sharing something, it's from my perspective or from what I hear female friends of mine, you know, complain about. I hear my male friends talking about women and what the women may be complaining about to them. It's not specific to any one situation. I'm just giving my perspectives as they come to me. Then I have listeners sending emails. So I'm putting all these thoughts out there because these are the comments that are coming towards me.
Don't be surprised if she calls in, because I did introduce her to the concept of disclosure. Maybe you should have been a little more forthright and not been a little more cloak and dagger with your information, because you could have said that on the phone before I...
When you were just talking, yes.
But wait, can I say something? She's a fake. She had to tell them nothing, because they weren't doing nothing, but they had a good time. She could have kept evaluating all along the process until she wanted to do something more than that. She didn't have to ever tell him anything. Ever. And she wouldn't have been wrong for not telling him.
Okay. Mark from Houston, Texas.
Well, that's your opinion, Mark. But the fact of the matter is that I already disclosed what I was looking for. And she knew from day one that she did not fit into that category. So she should have disclosed the fact that she did not fit into that category, and I could have took somebody who could have fit into the category out.
But Mark,
people aren't that honest, especially up front. They just do what they do. They're not that honest up front.
It's always nice and honorable. That's the nice and honorable stuff. But this is the real nasty now. And the reality is this. She didn't have to tell you nothing. And it was nice that she did. But she didn't have to tell you a thing. And she would have been well within her right. Because, remember.
No, she wouldn't.
You
ain't no
man.
The fact of the matter is that I already, in the conversations, I didn't pick her up on the street corner. I had a couple of conversations with her about myself, disclosure herself.
The fact
of the matter that she was in a relationship, and the fact is we had already had the conversation that I
gave you. So you said she was in a relationship. But Mark, I want to know, when you said she was in a relationship, see, that's a little different.
That's Chris.
That was Chris. Oh, Chris. She's in a relationship.
Yes, she says she's in a relationship.
I thought you said dating. I could have swore you said dating, and I didn't know what that meant. I thought you were saying dating as in sampling.
Said that she's been in a relationship with a guy for a year.
Okay, well, that's okay. Wait a minute. So she's been in a relationship with a guy for a year, meaning that's a man, if you want to loosely term.
As far as I'm concerned, she wouldn't be bringing it up if it wasn't a man.
Well, then if she got a man, she's playing the field.
Exactly.
She's moving around.
She's doing what most men do. Most men have two or three. They have that one special one that they hold down like a cat holding a mouse. They're holding it down with her. But they out there checking out the rest just to see, because you know that's what y'all do, you know. I'll give you 50-50. But that's how y'all function, because guess where we got it from? We learned it from y'all. Y'all the teachers.
But if he's crazy about you,
he still does those things. But I'm giving him 50% y'all. But if he's crazy about you, eventually he's going to realize ain't nothing else out there that he wants. He loves this one over here, and he's going to go on and be with her. Still, because they say even if you're happy in your marriage, that y'all still cheat. It doesn't matter.
Psychologists have said even if men are happy in their marriage,
they still tend to cheat.
Nah. All I'm saying is, all I know is this. And I've been in a relationship.
I didn't say everybody. I will exclude those who want to be excluded.
Wait a minute. Let me say this real quick. Yeah. Let me address that.
I just read the example of a relationship. You talking about men.
Okay.
Well, all I know is I just give you an example about a woman, and you automatically resort back to men.
Well, you did it earlier, to be fair, Chris, but here's what I want to say. You're absolutely right that this woman should have disclosed to you in one of those conversations that you were having before you asked her to go out to dinner and to go to the billiard room. Okay. Well, you know what? If she's dating, if she's involved with someone, if she's in a relationship, she ain't got no damn business entertaining Chris's advances. How's about that?
Clearly, she didn't like him. At some point, something's missing in that relationship for her to be searching outside of it.
Yeah, but why is she going to use Chris to figure out what it is?
Okay, honey, he only went on one date. Is he saying you only went on one date?
And it's not right when a woman do it either. Men been doing
it
for centuries, but it's not right for a woman to do it either. That's what disclosure is all about.
They went on one date.
We should come to the table disclosing where we are right now. You got somebody at home? Okay, let me know that so that I can make an informed decision.
Okay,
because maybe I don't
want to
deal with that got somebody at home.
The other
I got nobody at home. If she had
told you up front when you guys met that she was dating someone, you would have just went on about your business?
Absolutely.
Because some men don't. I tell men I'm married all the time. They be like, oh, well, that's okay. Can you have friends?
Yeah, well, that's the kind of men you meet. That's the kind of men I am.
That's why I asked you up front. Would you had a set? You would have went on about your business for real.
I mean, the fact of the matter is that when you look at a certain person, you're going to see certain things. I mean, the fact is that I was looking at this person in a serious kind of way. Well, I said
already from one look.
See,
here's the thing, and you know what? I'm shocked that, you know, you're taking this position, Gail, because Chris is an anomaly.
Uh-huh.
Chris is a man that wants to be in a committed situation. He wants to be committed. And, you know, then we have those on the line that think that that's too fast. That you can't look at a person, talk to a person, spend some time with a person, and just know. That's who you want to try to see what it's all about. I didn't say nothing about love at first sight, Mark from Houston, Texas. Okay? Talking about someone just feeling a vibe, saying, you know what, this is somebody I would like to just merely focus on getting to know without there being other distractions. That's all.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Other distractions. Well, guess what? Then you let that be known, and if that's what y'all want to do, y'all do it.
Yeah, but see, his problem with her is that she didn't. That's his point.
She did it on the phone when they were talking.
I'm sure that there was two or three conversations that they had before they went out on a date. Right or wrong, Chris from New York.
She told to go on a date. She saw what she saw, and when she saw what she saw, she decided, you know what, I'm going to throw this out at you. Now, you get mad at her, that's how she chose to do it, you can say she was wrong. What if she never told her? There was. So it was cool. She did it better late than never. And all I'm saying is this. It was a beautiful thing. Christmas Smith.
Okay. Well, in closing, I agree completely with Chris said. She should have disclosed where she was at. We've already had that discussion about disclosure. But I want to take the time to thank everyone for listening to Bree Life Radio, supporting Bree Life Radio. Send your questions, comments, concerns to Bree Life Radio
@gmail.com. And also, I want to send a special happy birthday to my son. He's turned 15 today. So happy birthday, baby. Very proud of you. I hope today was everything that you expected. And mommy loves you very much. To everyone else, peace and blessings. This is Bree. You've been listening to Bree Life Radio, and I thank you very much for calling in.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.